given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name by which men can be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. So would you stand with me this morning as we praise the name of Jesus together? Let's sing Your Name. As morning dawns and evening fades, You inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch Your heart and glorify Your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but Your name. Jesus, in Your name we pray. Those that call upon the name of Jesus, He's faithful to save each and every one that is willing to give their life to Him. So let's sing together, our God is mighty to save. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to save. He is mighty. Jesus conquered the grave. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, guys. It's good to see you here for worship this morning. Thank you for being with us. It's a good day to be in the Lord's house. And I would ask you that if you are visiting with us for the first time, if you would take one of those cards that are there in front of you where the hymnals are, if you'd fill one of those out and put it in our little box back at the back where we take our offering, we'd appreciate that. That way we just know how best to serve you, way to kind of be introduced to you, and glad that you are with us this morning. I will tell you that I don't have a ton of announcements this week. I think this week for us, instead of a lot of extra added events, it might be kind of a normal routine of events this week. Well, Heath, we don't know about those surprises yet, but right now we're thinking it's going to be a normal week. We'll meet this evening at 5 for practice, 6 this evening for worship, and then we'll be here Wednesday night too. I would tell you, though, we have had a lot of things going on, so let me catch you up about a few things that are happening. We did not have as many here yesterday as we normally have at the Returning Hearts event. We just didn't have as many people participating. I don't think there was as many people at the prison participating. But the ladies that were here yesterday enjoyed it, and I want to say thank you to those of you that came and served. It's really good to see those smiling faces and see people energetic to serve and to do that, and I really appreciate it. There were some decisions that were made yesterday, and so there'll be some other churches that I'll be getting into contact with where those people went back to their hometowns that maybe can follow up and can help with that. But I want to let you know how much I appreciate your donations of gifts for gift bags and helping get food ready and all the prep work that people did and being here with a smiling face early yesterday morning and all of those things. I really appreciate that, so thank you for being here. The other thing I would say thank you about is our Annie Armstrong offering, because we did that, we officially kind of did that last week, and of course the posters will be up maybe one more week, and the envelopes out if you did not give and would like to, but we have definitely reached our goal. Thank you. I think we are somewhere in the neighborhood of $7,900, $8,000 on that offering, and so give yourself a round of applause, because I thank you for faithfully giving in that way, and you guys are always generous when it comes to missions giving, and as a church, we have seen the benefits of mission giving. We have seen what it is to increase our mission giving and then see God bless us in return in that way, and so thank you for doing that. My prayer would be that you would see that in your personal finances as well, as you see him honor that gift that he uses as he calls us to give, and then he honors it and uses it for his kingdom. Let's pray this morning and thank the Lord that we're able to be in his house. I will tell you that Colton and Kelsey went to the hospital this morning, so we'll see what happens. I hadn't got another message since, but they're at the hospital, so let's pray for them. That's an exciting time for them and their family. And we'll just pray that that the Lord would watch over them, all right? Let's say a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we are honored to be in your house. And Lord, as we gather for worship, we want you to be exalted above all things. Lord, I pray that you would take the distractions of our heart, the things that are troubling us, the little problems that we face day-to-day life. Lord, I pray that you would take all those things and that they would diminish, and that, Lord, they would become strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace this morning. So we look to your word, speak to our heart. As we sing praises, help us to magnify you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we come to a time of decision later on, I pray that you would be honored, that you would be glorified by the decisions that we make. Lord, we want to be obedient to you today. And Lord, help us to recognize that we are not here. We don't want to be here in vain. We want to be here to lift you up in praise and to see how you would speak to our heart. So, Lord, I pray that this morning would be fruitful as we look in your word, as you speak to us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me again? Let's praise him for his holiness this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Morning.
we continue. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Minutes and shake hands and greet each other this morning. Last Sunday we studied Galatians chapter 2, and I want to sing a song this morning based on Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness could be obtained through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. When I look back at what I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think that I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. Even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive.
No greater sacrifice.
Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we are walking through this book together. And as we walk through Galatians, the idea is that he has made us free in Christ Jesus. The life that we are living in Christ is one of freedom, where we are not in captive to our sin. We're not made captive to our sin, nor are we made captive to all the works of righteousness that a person might do to try to earn their salvation. Because that's the trap that the Galatians had fallen into. The Galatians had fallen into this trap where they had come to Christ. Paul had been there, established those churches. They had received Christ as their Savior. But now they wanted to rely on something else. They wanted to turn to the works of the law. And as Paul is writing to them, he's made several arguments. He's talked about the power of the gospel in his own life. He's given them a word of warning about hypocrisy and about legalism and how to fight for the true gospel. When you get to chapter 3, what you're going to find is Paul is going to make several different arguments about why they should, really pointing to the Scripture. Really, chapters 3 and 4, he's going to point them back to Scripture to try to understand this idea that we are saved by God's grace. We're not saved by keeping the law. We have been made free from all of that. Today, the title of the message, if I were to give you one, is a question: who made you free? Most of the passage that we're going to read today is a series of questions: who made you free? Because the argument that Paul's going to focus on today is an argument from experience. He's going to question whether they have had an experience with Jesus. Now, this morning, I've got two or three people that I've asked to help me tell stories. Well, all of y'all come up here. I've got two or three people that are going to help me, and they're just going to tell us a story or two. Come on, will you come tell your story, too? Yeah, you. Yeah, you come and tell a story, too.
Yeah, you're up.
You're up. Come on up. So I've just asked these people to share a little bit about their, just about their personal experiences. And I'm going to let Jerry go first. Jerry, take this microphone here. Come over here with me. So yesterday you told me a story about you and Jan meeting, all right? Hold that microphone up good and tell us the circumstances under which you and Jan met.
So we're college kids, and we were discussing yesterday the fact that I was a very sleepyhead type guy. So I met young Jan, asked her for a date. We attended a basketball game on a Friday night. That was the first date. Our next date was scheduled for church Sunday morning. Sunday morning came by. I woke up at 1 o'clock. So my wife is very forgiving.
I was fixing to ask you how she felt about this. I mean, obviously it worked out, but,
I think this marriage is going to work out.
Yeah. She's forgiven your flaws from the get-go. I love it. I love it. So even if he's telling that story, if you're here and you're married, if you have ever been on dates and had those sort of things, maybe you have an experience kind of like that, but that's a good one. I like it. Good deal. Okay, you can go first. So, yeah, well, good. So tell us about you. Amy has a scar right here. I can see it right here. Tell us about that scar.
Okay. If you don't know, I have three older brothers. I'm the youngest and the only girl, and I survived.
Mm-hmm.
One instance, we grew up just right down the road here, so we're from the country. Not a lot to do when you live out there. So I was playing one day with my brother Ben, who's the one closest in age to me, who tortured me pretty much my whole life. We were playing, and we were throwing a screwdriver in the air and then watching it land. That was the game. Yeah, so anyway, so he was throwing it, and he said, "Look out." And so I looked out, and it came down, and it landed, and it stuck right in my forehead. And we walked down the hill because we were up at the shed. We walked down the hill. Your head bleeds a lot if it gets hurt. I don't know if you've known that, but I look down. I'm covered in blood, and my brother is apologizing for murdering me. We get down the hill. My dad takes the screwdriver out and puts a Band-Aid on, and I'm good.
Completely, totally sound. Good. I love. I was mainly talking about Steve Gaither's medical, practices there. Yeah. I think tape it up. It's good. Good to go. Okay. So I don't know what kind of injuries you've had, but just kind of think over. You know what I mean? That was kind of a unique one. I don't know another person that's had a screwdriver in their head. So that's a good story.
Tell us one. Tell us one about you.
So David asked this morning that he was going to look for volunteers to tell a story, and I've always got stories. I love storytelling, and I don't like talking in front of a lot of people, so if I sound nervous, it's because I am. And I didn't get permission to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyways. So me and Sue Ellen got married in October of 2011. We're in the process of, like, remodeling, buying a house, all this kind of stuff. And the guy that we dealt with was a really loud guy. My brother and them know him, and he worked at the First Bank of Dalton, and he was good, helped us close on the loan, all that chaos. You know, we had a construction loan and all that. And he calls me to wish me either Merry Christmas or Happy New Year. I can't remember, so don't quote me on what I'm going to tell you, but I'll tell you the facts. The facts are, when he called me and he said whatever he said, be it Happy New Year or Merry Christmas, he said, I got something I got to ask you. And I said, what is it? And he said, do you and your wife communicate on finance? And I was like, well, we've only been married for a couple months, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we do. And he said, well, your wife wrote a $400 check that bounced. And I was like, ugh. And then he said, it was to the church at Center Grove.
We've all made mistakes.